So I'm guessing some of you have heard the story of the man who prayed and prayed that he would win the lottery. I mean, he got down on his hands and knees. He prayed for years. He begged God. He bargained with God. He said, God, if you just let me win the lottery, I will be better to my wife. I will love my children more dearly. I will donate 10% to the church, and I will make the world a better place. And still nothing happened. So in desperation, he fell down on his knees and he put his hands up in the air and he said, God, why aren't you hearing me? When are you going to answer my prayer? And lo and behold, he was shocked at this voice that came down from the heavens, and it said, son, work with me here. Buy a ticket. And so we continue today on our series of Practical Metaphysics, a book really written by Eric Butterworth in 1981. It was actually a class that was recorded, as most of you know. And we are now on chapter 7, entitled Prayer. So Butterworth says that the call to prayer can be heard throughout the world in many languages and traditions. It may involve the throwing of sticks by a Confucianist, or a prayer wheel of a Buddhist. It may be the voice from the tower calling the Muslim to pray 5 times a day. It may be a Native American standing on a hillside with arms outstretched toward the moon as he prays in celebration of the whole universe. Or it may be a student of truth heartfeltly affirming, saying an affirmation. And although prayer is practiced in many faiths, it's especially important to us in Unity because we know that our movement began with one woman's prayers for healing, Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder. So here's a question for you. What would you guess the latest research says about the number of Americans who pray daily? What's your guess? Throw out a percentage. Okay, I'm not hearing a lot. Let's say it this way. How many think it's less than 50%? How many think it's more? Okay, well, actually, the answer is, are you ready? 55%. The last survey showed that 55% of Americans pray daily. So, Eric Butterworth says in another book, The Universe is Calling, that despite all these people praying daily, that prayer is the most misunderstood subject in the field of religious practice. Now that's quite a statement, is it not? Eric Butterworth believes that we need to realize that metaphysics, which we define as seeing beyond the physical, metaphysics is not only a way of thinking and living as we've been studying the last few weeks, it's also a way of praying, a very different way of praying. He believes that first, in order to explore this topic of prayer, we need to look at the meaning of the word prayer. Now, because this book or these lessons were done in 1981, I looked at a modern source. And so this is from thesaurus.com. So here we go. They define prayer as, or these are synonyms for prayer. They define prayer, no, you can't read that, as pleading as if to a deity. So pleading is the definition. And here are the synonyms. Appeal, invocation, plea, begging, entreaty, petition, request, beseeching, imploring, supplication. Do we see a pattern there? There were a few positive words, but not very many. Most of them were just exactly like that. And so Eric Butterworth says that these words are obviously describing petitioning a capricious God, a God out there, up there, somewhere, a God who is separate, a God who is apart, a God who is the big man of the sky, like the famous painting of Michelangelo on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And Eric Butterworth says we must let go of the absence of the God image, this faraway God image, in order to begin practicing what is called the presence of God, practicing the presence of God. He says we need to think of God as present, active within us, expressing as us. Only when we let go of that tendency to pray to God and to reach for God, to supplicate help from God, can we get to the understanding that God is omnipresent, everywhere present. And Eric Butterworth defines that as the allness in which we each exist as an eachness. Typical Butterworth language. Remember that from a former lesson. He says prayer is not conditioning God to your needs. It's not begging for handouts from heaven. Rather, prayer is conditioning your life with the activity of God, conditioning your consciousness so that you can acknowledge what already is true. Prayer is not something we do to God. It's not a ceremony we perform for God. It's an experience of our own God potential. He says prayer is self-realization, self-expansion. Prayer helps us align with who and what we truly are. Butterworth says, you were created in the beginning, and we learned a few weeks ago that in the beginning means in spiritual principle. You were created in spiritual principle in God's image and likeness. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? And the rest of this that's not on the screen is, for God's temple is holy, and the temple, that temple you are. And the word holy in the early Greek meant whole, whole, not divided. Butterworth says, sometimes we don't know that. Sometimes we don't remember that God is spirit, present in its entirety at every point in space at the same time. I think that's so hard for our human heads to wrap around. God is not a little piece in you and a little piece in me, divide it all up. God is purely whole, expressing fully and completely at every single point of the universe. And Jesus clearly said, your Father knows what you need even before you ask. So whatever our life problems might be, God is the answer, and God is present, so the answer is always present. Whatever it is you're seeking to understand, whatever guidance you need, whatever thing that you feel needs to be expressed or experienced in your life, it is present, total, and complete, although maybe not visible yet. We pray to recenter and reestablish ourselves in the flow of the infinite creative process. Prayer is not something that we learn to do like driving a car or playing golf. In fact, Eric Butterworth has a darling story in this chapter about a young girl whose parents were so proud of her because she had learned to say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Anybody haunted by that prayer? I was as a child. I was afraid to go to sleep. I don't know about you, but anyway, these parents were proud of her because she learned every word and she was young. So they were having a dinner party and they dragged her out to recite her prayer to all the guests. So she stood there very proudly to have an audience, and she bowed her little head and she put her hands in a tent and she did the entire prayer without one moment's hesitancy. She did it perfectly. Well, the guests were so impressed with her. They clapped and they hugged her and they told her how wonderful she was. And so just, you know, being used to being in the limelight, she looked at everybody and she said, "Well, hey, if you like that, do you want to come upstairs and hear me gargle?" And Eric Butterworth says, you know, that may be funny. It is funny, but maybe it's the way a lot of people pray. The little girl memorized something she learned, and it just became a nighttime routine to her. And Butterworth says, too many of us get involved in the experience of prayer by learning the words, taking on the pose, and mindlessly reciting. But prayer is not a performance. It is the very science of being. It's understanding the nature of God and God's goodness, and also understanding our own divine identity. Butterworth says the key to understanding prayer as a science of being is to understand allness. That's one of his words. We've looked at it before. He says he often uses this term as a word for God. And so he says, so often when we use the word God, we think out, we think up, we think something separate. And as long as we think something separate, we have created a separation within us. God doesn't create it, but we can. And prayer can be only effective when we think oneness. So I think allness. This is Eric Butterworth's words. I think allness, he says. Allness means totality. I can't say it. If there's allness, the whole is present. Remember the meaning of the word holy. If there's allness, the whole is present. If there's allness, good is present. All life is present. All wisdom is present. All substance, all guidance, all love are present. We live and move and have our being in omnipresent allness. Butterworth wrote in another book, "Know the One, the allness of God, and you will always be in the flow of good, always. All else is a temporary illusion." Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that as spiritual beings having a human experience, we really navigate two realms at the same time, and sometimes it isn't easy. We live and move and have our being in the absolute realm. That's our spiritual selves. That's the realm of God, all goodness, divine principle, and all divine ideas in their purity and power. All divine ideas, wholeness, love, wisdom, and life, and all the rest. And we have access to that realm every moment of our lives. And also, we live in the relative realm, do we not? In our human skins, sometimes things go awry. Has anybody ever noticed that? But the thing about anything in the physical outer world is it can be healed. Any condition has the potential to be healed and transformed as we align in the absolute, as we align in the spiritual realm. And that's really important for us to keep in mind. So prayer is not asking for what we lack. True prayer, according to Butterworth, is knowing our oneness. Well, I was visiting someone at St. Luke's Hospital very recently, and I was getting ready to go up in the elevator, and just as it was closing, I saw a sign by the elevator across from me, and I quickly got my phone out and recorded what it said. It said, "Prayer is the art of bringing oneness with God into our consciousness." That's what prayer is. It's a realizing that we are one in and with the Most High. And we know the psalmist said, Mary quoted part of this morning, the psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." When I get out of my busy mind and become still, then I know. I know I am. I am the activity of all life, expressing at the point of me. The need is not for God to give us more of anything. The need is for us to be more aware of the allness of life and the eternity of life. Butterworth reminds us that the amazing part of this creative process is that allness is ever seeking to fulfill itself in the eachness. In other words, the allness has but one intent as far as you're concerned, and that is to perfect itself and express itself as you, through you. And that's an amazing thing for us to remember. Jesus said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And also he said, "Lo, the kingdom is not here nor there. The kingdom is where? Within you." Absolutely. The kingdom is the whole that is present even in the part. In other words, Butterworth says, the kingdom is the oak tree that is present in the acorn. It is the Christ that is present even in the seemingly imperfect person. It is the allness of God that is present always in the individual at the point where he or she is. Butterworth says, but first we must Be still and know that I am God. We don't have to reach a transcendent God. We only have to reach ourselves. We have to wake up knowing the I am, that God is present, never absent. Knowing that, experiencing that, I become relaxed and open and receptive. I allow the infinite process to express totally and completely in me and through me. So if all that's true, then why would Jesus tell us, ask and you shall receive? We were doing chaplain training one year, and we were talking about how to pray affirmatively, and one of the chaplains said, well then if that's true, why does Jesus tell us to ask for things? And that was really a good question. But there, Butterworth clarifies it. He says this little word ask has created a lot of confusion. It implies that we ask God for this or for that, and God can decide if the answer is yes, or if the answer is no, or if the answer might be maybe. If God says no, then surely it means God doesn't like me, or God is too busy to bother with my insignificant problems. That's actually what I was taught as a child. Don't bother God with all the little details, you know, only go to God with the big needs. And I believed that for many, many years, so it was kind of embedded in my consciousness. Or we might think that God wants us to suffer for something. Surely we're evil and we're sinners and we've done something wrong, something we've done or left undone, and that's why our prayers aren't answered. But Jesus said, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask from your human consciousness. Butterworth says this refers to asking in a begging, bargaining attitude for something that is already the reality of your being. If you look up the word ask in the Hebrew Bible, also from the Greek and also from the Latin, you will find that the strongest connotation of the word is claim. Ask really meant claim. Not to beg or supplicate, but to claim. The difference is, I would think, like my going into a department store and asking for free luggage. Good luck with that, right? Versus my taking my little claim check at the end of the flight and claiming the luggage that is already mine. I'm much more likely to get it, am I not? Because it's already there and it's already mine. And note, what luggage is mine will not be empty ever. It might be full of dirty clothes, but it will not be empty, right? So Butterworth says we ask, for example, for electricity by claiming it as we turn on the switch. The power is already on, and we claim it when we throw the switch. We make the contact, and this results into the electrical energy into the circuit, bringing light into the room. And he says this is a vital realization of the truth. But we don't think about it, do we? We just flip the switch. Except when the electricity's off, and then we notice it isn't there, right? So I might add about that, we don't stand in front of the switch and implore, oh, please, please, mighty switch, please come on, do we? We don't say, I know I am unworthy to receive the light, but if you will just give me the light, I will regroup, I will behave. That bargaining with God, I used to be really good at that. We simply turn on the light, knowing, expecting that the light will come forth. Butterworth says you can also ask for the light by opening your blinds. You can ask for air by opening the windows. And you can ask for health and life by accepting them and claiming them. You don't have to beg God to heal you because God is the perfect healing energy always present. God is the perfect life and health already within you. You make it happen by making the contact, meaning you synchronize your thoughts and lift yourself to a high level of consciousness in which you believe you are a spiritual being having a human experience, and there's always that absolute realm from which you can draw. You accept God's healing life, you claim it, you demand it, you look past the diagnosis, and you are much more likely to receive it. Jesus also told us in Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Only three little words, if you believe. If you can look at a temporary human condition and see wholeness, if you can look beyond the balance in your bank account and see prosperity, if you can look beyond any earthly challenge to what is spiritually true, you will receive what you claim. And this is the way we pray in unity, is it not? And what do we call that type of prayer? What do we call it? Affirmative prayer. And what does affirm mean? It means to say, thank you. It means to say yes. Not no, but yes. So affirmative prayer means to say yes. And as Linda Martella Whitsitt, the author of How to Pray Without Talking to God, Moment by Moment, Choice by Choice, writes, affirmative prayer does not involve begging a distant God to change ourselves, other people, or our circumstances. Instead, affirmative prayer, one, cultivates awareness of our oneness, the one power and one presence, divine mind. We pray from a consciousness of oneness. We pray remembering our oneness in and with and through God. It also identifies divine nature as our true nature. We pray claiming our divine identity. And finally, it reveals the highest truth that our human minds can comprehend in the moment. And it helps us to realize a greater truth than we see with our physical eyes. And so when things show up on the physical plane that we are that are challenging and that we think we didn't order, right? We have to say yes to the goodness of God. We have to find the good in it. We synchronize our thoughts with the great yes of Spirit, and we claim all the powers of the Christ, knowing that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this physical world. Now, in that consciousness, let's say something yucky happens in your life, right? We can ask ourselves, is this, in this situation, in this outward event, what have I come here to be? How do I show up in the midst of this situation? What aspect of my divine nature am I called upon to claim? Is it wholeness? Is it love? Is it faith, strength, wisdom? Finally, we see this situation from the highest point of view. We look for the good in it. Even though it might not be what we've chosen, we look for the good in it, and we know that healing and wholeness are always possible from the spiritual realm. Butterworth says that is what prayer is. It's not dealing with some special appeal to the heavens, but it's a systematic, scientific way of changing our thoughts and getting ourselves in tune with the divine flow, and the divine flow is always there. So he says, never pray without taking time to turn within, even if it's for a few minutes. Become quiet and take time to know your oneness. Prayer is an inner awareness where we say yes to the divine in us, yes to the divine as us. And when we're still, the Chinese say, the heavenly heart reveals itself. Isn't that beautiful? When we're still, the heavenly heart reveals itself. So in yes consciousness, we move through all life challenges. We feel a flooding of light, a wellspring of transformative healing energy, and we say amen. And amen means, and so it is, and so it is. So as we prepare to turn within and go into a time of meditation and prayer, let us affirm the great truth about the divine. This is printed in your bulletin for those of you who are here for the first time. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.